This week, a U.S. envoy challenged Iran to disprove suspicions that it had worked to develop nuclear arms by throwing open a military site to U.N. inspection. He also urged Iran to curb uranium enrichment, noting that, with further work, the material it already has is enough for use in several atomic bombs, something that may be slowing down that work, a potent computer virus that we recently learned about called FLAME. WTOP National Security Correspondent J.J. Green says the U.S. is not hiding its involvement in this virus, and that is further straining the American relationship with Israel.
Israel's not happy about it. They're reluctant to say anything about what they're doing and how they're doing it. And the U.S. coming out and saying the U.S. did it and Israel's been doing it with us is not something that the Israelis are interested in hearing or having happen right now. Because it opens them up, one, to criticism. It opens them up to embarrassment. Because, for a long time, people have been suspecting that there was some Israeli involvement in the Stuxnet virus. But, no, there was no confirmation. And a lot of people were thinking the Israelis were in the leadership of this. But hearing now that it's the other way around, there's a lot of room for a lot of concern on their part about what this means for them, what it's going to open them up to.
Regardless of all that back and forth between the U.S. and Israel, what was the real goal?
Time. Time was the real goal. And yes, they were successful. The reason for it is because they took place at a time when the U.S. was changing administrations. Back in the 08 time frame, 08, 09 time frame. The Bush administration was leaving, the Obama administration was coming in, and there was concern that there might be a gap in between these two administrations, and the Iranian nuclear program, the people that were running it, might take advantage of it. So what they wanted to do was to make sure that there was some continuity there. I've talked to a couple of national security officials within the last few months, and they both have talked about, despite the fact that there were significant policy and political differences between President Bush and President Obama, there's been extraordinary convergence of thinking between the two administrations when it comes to terrorism and national security. And this appears to be one of those situations.
JJ, we've been hearing so much about the politics behind these national security leaks in the news this week. Who leaked the information about the U.S. and Israel's involvement in Stuxnet a while ago and the most recent FLAME virus, and why?
Well, I asked that question Friday, and, I've been asking folks at the White House and folks around the national security community, and so far, I've been told that only David Sanger, the guy who wrote the article for the New York Times, knows. But there were several other people in that room, supposedly, that knew who most likely leaked that information. And it appeared to be someone who had access to the information regarding Stuxnet and the flame and or to the president and the Situation Room on the day when that difficult discussion took place between the president, the vice president, and the director of the CIA, and perhaps others. So who leaked it is a question that's going to be probably bandied around for a while. But I can say this about it. There is significant concern about why. And one of the reasons that's come up, or one of the answers that's come up, is perhaps to send a message to the Chinese and the Russians. Because both of those countries recently have been accused openly by the U.S. of launching attacks on the U.S. And perhaps this was a way to say, hey, this is what we've got. This is what we're telling you we've got, so we may have more. And there's also the possibility that this is to let Iran and other countries know what the U.S. is doing. And most likely, from one source that I've spoken to, this was done likely because of concerns from the Gulf states that wanted something to be done about Iran, its neighbor. But these being Arab countries did not want to show that they were actually seeking out some kind of remedy from the West, least of all the U.S.
Iran is not just going to sit back and take this. What kind of retaliation is expected? Is it underway, or when it starts, what will it look like?
I spoke to a source about this who is very familiar with the Middle East, North America, and other parts of the world, who talked about one thing, and he kept coming back to this theme of Iran having access to actual diplomatic facilities around the world and having proxies like Hezbollah that have access to those facilities. And he mentioned that this is a situation where you have to be very careful because they've been known to use those facilities in the past to plot and to carry out attacks. And what they will do is probably best put this way. I was told that Hezbollah and Iran's proxies make organizations like al-Qaeda look like minor league teams when you compare them to the big leagues of terror organizations, an arena that Hezbollah dominates. They're supposedly the best in the world. So they may be up to anything. The question is when, where, and how.
Are we safer as a result of these cyber attacks?
I would argue as long as Iran didn't use what took place, the setback, to make what they were working on better. And by that I mean, how often have you been working on something on the computer and you lose it? And after a few moments of frustration, you set out to recreate it, and you do recreate it, and you make that document or that piece or that project better. That is what, based on what I've seen and what I've heard from folks out there, the concern is. Hopefully they weren't able to make what they had to recreate. They didn't make it better.
WTOP's national security correspondent, J.J. Green.